Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on the mighty Hot 102.7, and it is so good to be back with you again on the Sunday morning. I hope that you've had a good week. I've had a really great week. It was busy, but good. And of course, there's still a lot of uncertainty in the world, so I wonder if you're perhaps feeling a little concerned, maybe a little afraid as to what will happen as we watch what's going on all over the world, and of course, some of the violence in our own country. So apart from Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, Sudan, we've now had skirmishes with India and Pakistan. We've got Finland worried about the Russian troops building up on their border. And so we are living in very uncertain times at the moment. And as human beings, we don't like uncertainty, and we certainly don't like war. I still cannot get around the fact in my head that we find it okay to be violent towards another human being. But I think today's readings from the book of Revelation are welcome, is a really welcome one. God promises that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that God, God's self, will dwell among us, and that there will be peace on earth. So with all this violence, financial uncertainty, enmity in the world, I'm looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth. Before we read from Revelation, I thought it was important to look at who wrote the book, to look at a little bit about it. So the author identifies himself as John, and almost all scholars will say that was John the Apostle. He was in exile on Patmos and was one of the last surviving apostles. The one whom Jesus loved is how he describes himself. John is the author of 5 books in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. So he wrote a lot of the Bible. John was not just one of the 12 disciples, but he was also part of the inner circle along with Peter and James. And I think it's important to note that they had that privilege of experiencing things with Jesus that the other disciples didn't. One of the greatest things for me was when they were with Jesus on the mountain and they saw the transfiguration. And we read about that both in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what fascinates me is that John didn't record it in his own gospel, and yet he was one of the disciples who was there and watched it and saw that transformation, transfiguration of Jesus. Interestingly enough, what we find with John is that he focuses a lot on love in his gospel, I think, and being in the beginning. He goes right back to the beginning and looks at how God is always present and God is love and God is light. But then when he writes Revelation, he's looking more at dreams. And some have suggested that Revelation was even written in code because it would have been censored by the people on the island who were keeping him captive there. So we're not really sure, but Revelation is one of those books a lot of people stay away from, and yet there is an amazing depth and beauty in Revelation. And it is his dreams that he's told then to share with other people. And maybe the way in which he wrote it is in code so that it wouldn't be censored and it would come out and the people reading it would just think, perhaps, what is this? It doesn't make sense. But what we read today makes perfect sense. So we're reading from Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. And he will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I'm making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the springs of the water of life." Isn't that wonderful? It's just a beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture. I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite. And I just love the fact that God says, "I'm making everything new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more death, no more crying. The old order will pass away." And when we look a bit later at the Acts reading, I'm going to talk again about this old order passing away. But first on the Mighty Hot 102.7, praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 102.7.
Praise my soul, the King of Heaven on the Mighty Hot 102.7. Good morning. If you've just joined me, welcome. It's great to be with you. Today we're looking at the good news that we find in the book of Revelation. The good news about peace we will experience when Jesus comes again and God makes a new heaven and a new earth and dwells with us. And this is, of course, found in Revelation 21, written by John, who was living in exile on the Greek island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. He knew he was about to die in the new future, and this is the very time when God chooses to give him a vision of the glory of Jesus Christ. And that vision includes this glimpse into heaven, where one day God himself will live with us forever. John was commanded to write down what he saw, and the vision was not for his own personal comfort and encouragement as his life was coming to an end, but for all of us, down the ages, the centuries, who, when facing daily challenges, could do with some courage and hope. And I think that's very true of this reading. That's why I said it's a word in due season, a time when we really need to hear good news. With all our modern understanding and communication, it fascinates me that we're actually no closer to peace on earth than we were when John wrote this. So one day, we're told Jesus will return and bring that real and lasting peace, but before that peace can come, there are going to be sufferings and trials. Life and death have always and will always be in God's hands. He will defeat and ruin every power that opposes what is good and true. We believe that. We should hope for the day when world peace will be here for good. And I do hope and pray for that. In Revelation 21, what we see is the state of the church after Christ's return. It's a time when conflicts will have stopped and Christ's enemies will have been destroyed, and we will have this new heaven and the new earth. All our tears will be wiped away, and there will be no more death, sorrow, or pain. This is a reading that's often used at funerals, but it's not just for the death now, the physical death. I think it's important for us to realize that this is a word for us too who are living. It's a word of hope, a word of truth, a word of something we can trust in, something we can look forward to, something we can hold on to when we're going through a whole lot of challenges. God has promised that all things will be new. All of us are called, of course, to make a choice then, to turn to God or turn to the world. I think for me, the main message throughout Revelation is choose God and you have life, choose for the other and you're going to have death. So God is life and the world is death. And that choice comes throughout Revelation. When we choose life in Jesus, we become partners with Jesus in a way, for me, that the power of God becomes manifest here on earth. So isn't that a powerful statement? So we are a partner with Jesus? Do you think of yourself like that? You think of a partner, how they help you? And I honestly think that one of the reasons God came down to earth to dwell among us, to be with us, was to show us this way of life where we could work in partnership with Jesus. Jesus was showing his disciples how to live. That's why on the eve of his crucifixion, he's washing their feet. He's showing them a different way, a different world order, a way of being. And of course, the disciples then had to pass that on to us. So we are, and I'm going to stress this now, we are called to be partners with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and walking with Christ here on earth, allowing God's power to be manifest here on earth. I just want to look at that sea analogy, because when John says there will be no more sea, what he's saying is that the people of the day, there will be nothing that will harm God's people and cause them to be fearful, not even death. So there will be no chaos, no evil, everything is going to be created and it will be new. And the sea at that time, and that's why I say let's look at that analogy, the sea for the people at that time was regarded as something fearful and chaotic. It represented chaos that existed before creation. Remember when the earth was formless and empty and darkness was over the surface of the sea, the Spirit of God hovered over the water and he said, let there be. And of course, then order came into being. And in this passage, we hear that that chaos and that disorder that threatens will disappear. It is death for mourning and crying and pain and tears caused by loss. That's all going to disappear. Any of us who've experienced loss, I think, can identify with this. Grief makes our lives formless, empty, and dark. Therefore, when John says there will be no more sea in the new heaven and earth, he's saying there will be nothing to harm us or cause us fear. There will be order now. There will be no more chaos, death, or evil. Everything is going to be created new. And the new Jerusalem will be the eternal ruling place of Christ, as the old Jerusalem was his temporary ruling place. And so the holy city originates from heaven and from God, and all of the inhabitants are also Christ's bride, the redeemed. The new Jerusalem is both the bride and the place where she lives. I think what we see in this is that the promise God made to Abraham that all nations will be blessed in him will then be fulfilled. For all of us, there's comfort in knowing that there will be a disappearance of death, sorrow, crying, and pain. And it's a complete reversal, if you like, of what happens in Genesis 3 when all of that entered human history through Adam and Eve, when they turned away from God. So all the evil present in that old creation will be removed with the destruction of the old heaven and the old earth, and those tears will be wiped away, and we will be with God here present on earth. I often pray when I pray, Lord, you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. In you we have our very being. And here we know where it comes from. The Alpha and the Omega is an expression, I think, indicating God's absolute sovereignty and presence over everything. At the beginning and at the end, there is God, and in between, there is also God. God stands at the beginning of creation and now again at the end of creation. And God's New Jerusalem is a place where life and its essentials are given as a free gift from God. I think for me, the best part of heaven would be the loving presence of God himself all the time. And we do live in the presence of God now. We live in the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But then I think we will see even more. And we're told that actually in 1 Corinthians 13, that, you know, then we will see clearly and then we will know in full what we only know in part now. And I think it sounds really good to me. So as we listen to this reading in the midst of everything that's going on around us, I really believe that this reading is a message of good news for you and I. It's a message in due season. It is time for us as Christians to recognize this message and then to live as partners with God here on earth through the power of God's Spirit, moving in the power of God, listening to God, moving with God's wisdom and understanding, and helping God's power to be manifest here on earth in and through our lives. Coming up now on the Mighty Heart 1027, when I look into your holiness, God is indeed holy.
Sunrise with Shona
on Hot 1027.
When I look into your holiness on the Mighty Hot 1027, it's good to be with you, and it was wonderful to share the good news from Revelation with you. We have just heard how God will make everything new and will dwell with us, wipe away all our tears, sadness, death, and grief, and there will be peace. I'm going to move now to Peter in the book of Acts, because basically what we're told there is there will be a new world order. And I think it started right at the time of the disciples already, things started changing. And there was a different way of being, as we will see through the people who circumcised complaining to Peter about the people who weren't and that Peter ate with them. And I really wanted to read it today because I think we are so quick to judge, so slow to understand, have compassion, slow to love others with the love of God. And we are going to see here that Peter is saying things are different already, right from the start, where he's saying that he has been told by God that all these things are clean. So let's read it now. And I think let's just at the back of our minds remember how often we look at someone and judge them. And perhaps we should be more like Peter, who includes everyone. So we're told, Acts chapter 11, the apostles and believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So, I mean, this would have been shocking for them because they thought it was just for them, the Jews. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. Like, how could you do that? Starting from the beginning, Peter tells them the whole story that he was in the city of Joppa praying. In a trance, he saw a vision. He saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners. And he looked and he saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds. And he heard a voice saying, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, I replied, no, no, Lord, surely not. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. And the voice spoke from heaven a second time and said, don't call anything impure that God has made clean. And it happened three times and it was pulled up. He says, right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. And the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me. We entered the man's house. He told us how I had seen an angel appear in his house. And he said, the angel said, send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and your whole household will be saved. He goes on to say, as he began to speak, that Holy Spirit came upon him and he had come upon us at the beginning. So the Holy Spirit comes upon this man. And then he remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, you will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift, then who was I to stand in the way of God's way, is what he says to these men who are criticizing him for going into the house of the uncircumcised. When these men hear this, they have no further objections, and they praise God, saying, "So then, even the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Now, I'm not going into more detail because I believe it is quite self-explanatory. But here we have disciples judging other disciples because they're different. And I think we need to be very careful with judgment. We are not here to decide who's right for God and who can serve God, who should be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God's decision, not ours. What I do like in this reading, at least those who brought that objection backtracked. Now, as we're running out of time, I quickly want to refer to John 13 and end with a psalm of praise. So in John 13, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, "My children, I'm only going to be with you a little longer. You're going to look for me, just as I told the Jews. So I tell you, where I'm going, you cannot come." But he goes on to say, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." I feel if we just did this, the whole world would change. I'm absolutely convinced of it. We just need to love with the love of God, that radical, inclusive, grace-filled love of forgiveness, joy, peace. We need to just be ambassadors for that, channels of that in this world. My sister had a priest in the UK and they were short of priests. So the priest went from one church to the next. So he only had half an hour with them. And his sermon every week for weeks was, "Love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself." And someone objected or something. I can't remember how it went. And the priest said, "Well, when you start doing it, I'll stop preaching it." And I just think we need to love with the love of God. Now, to end this morning, I'm going to share a psalm of praise because I think in the midst of all that's happening, we mustn't forget to praise God. No matter what challenges we're facing, no matter what uncertainty, no matter how we're feeling, no matter how worried we are, we need to always praise God. And for me, what's interesting in Psalm 148, it begins with the words, "Praise the Lord," and it ends with the words, "Praise the Lord." And maybe if that's all we can say, that's what we should do. I'm going to read every single verse, but I'll just read some from the beginning and some from the end. So the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun, moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heaven and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever, and he issued a decree that will never pass away." And it goes on in verse 13 to say, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord." Isn't that a wonderful way to end? So we've looked at Revelation. We've looked at how there will be a whole new creation, a new earth, a new heaven. God will dwell among us. God will bring peace. God will let us drink from the streams of the water of life. Everything will be renewed, refreshed, restored. And of course, there will be no more tears, no more suffering. We've looked at how this new world order came into being, will come into being. And we've looked at how, for me, I believe it begins with those early disciples and how Peter then welcomes the Gentiles and the uncircumcised into that after a vision from God. And we've looked at how Jesus said that we need to love because people will recognize God when we love. And we've ended with the praise. And so this morning, I hope that something of what I've said has touched you. I thank you for joining me. I think it's wonderful to spend time with you. And I hope that you have a great week. To wrap up, "Broken for you and change my heart, O God." May God bless you and those you love, and have a wonderful Sunday.
Sunrise with Shona
on Heart 102.7.